Let us pray. God our Father, we bow before you this morning in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, God, for your word that brings life. And we pray, O Lord, that as we listen even to the passage of scriptures, Lord, as we listen to your word, that, Lord, you will do your work in our hearts. Cause us to respond rightly to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. You know, we have come to a very special time of the year, a time that most of us love, when carols come on in the air. As we hear them being rung this morning by our church bells, when we see twinkling lights on Christmas trees, and when we receive notices, plenty of them, of the best sales ever for this season. Yeah? And Christmas, we know, has come. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, Christmas has always been nostalgic because it is a time when I recall how I became a Christian. And it's also a time when I reflect on the past year. It's always been for me a time of thanksgiving, a time of deep gratitude to God for the way that He had seen me through yet another year. And it's a time of intentionally turning my thoughts to Jesus. It's not that I don't think of Jesus the rest of the year, but it's just that during Christmas, I think of Him even more. Because Christmas is really all about Jesus. As the slogan goes, Jesus is the reason for the season. Our gospel reading that was read by Canon Louis for us this morning in Matthew 1, 18 to 25 is a very familiar and well-loved passage on the birth of Jesus and on why He came. And it's a passage that we usually will turn to during the time in the Christmas season. And in it, we learn how Joseph was instructed to name the son that was born, that will be born to Mary, Jesus. And the angels explain why he has to be named Jesus, because there is a significance to that name. And it is to signify that the newborn child will save his people from their sins. You know, in Jewish tradition, names are very important and names are significant because the names actually often signal the prophetic destiny of the individual. Now, for instance, Abram was renamed Abraham. And I think some of us know the meaning of those two names. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many nations. And you find that when Abram's name was changed, it signaled his calling and destiny. Same thing for Jacob. Jacob was renamed Israel from the name Jacob, which means the usurper, to Israel, the one who wrestled with God and prevailed. And it reflected his new position with God. The name Jesus is the Greek form. Can we have the slide? Yeah, the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, Yeshua. Those who can read Hebrew, you can read that Hebrew lettering, Yeshua. Or in the old form is Yehoshua. And both names, Jesus and Joshua, mean the Lord is salvation. At that time, it was a common name, a very popular boy's name. But when it was given to Jesus, it was highly significant because it pointed to who Jesus is and what he will do on earth. And who is Jesus? The Word of God tells us that he is the Son of God. In Galatians 4:4, that was read to us just now, we read, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." So in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, and His name is Jesus. Now this is a greater Jesus, a greater Joshua than the first Joshua of the Old Testament. We know about the first Joshua, as it was recorded for us in the book of Joshua, how he led the Israelites into the promised land in conquest. And here, this Jesus, the second Joshua, is even greater than the first Joshua, because he led all of us, those who would believe in him, into the promised land. And it's not a physical land, but it's into a promised land of God's presence. And he conquered the power of sin over our lives. His life on the cross, as he died on the cross, was to open up the way for all of us to enter into the presence of the Holy God. So Jesus came to save people from their sins. And what are these sins? Today we want to rehearse some of these things because, as we sang, no, I love to tell the old story. And it's the story of how Jesus came to save us from our sins. And sin is missing the mark of all that God intended us to be when he created humankind. It is sin of the hearts, the wickedness in hearts. It is sin of unholy living, unrighteous lifestyles. And it's a sin of the works of darkness. Many times, only we know ourselves what is within our heart and how we have lived. And Jesus came to rescue his people from the bondage to sin. You know, tied to his name are the titles Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Savior of the world. I think we've seen these posters often. Jesus the Messiah, what does it mean? It means Jesus the Christ. Messiah is the Hebrew form and Christ in the Greek form. Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Anointed King and Priest, and Jesus the Savior of the world. And under whose name, there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Only the name of Jesus. He is also known as Jesus, the Lamb of God. You know, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he exclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." You know, this imagery of a lamb conjures up scenes in the Old Testament of bloody sacrifices that was brought to the temple in the Old Testament times. And we may well question, why would God require sacrifices in the temple? And this has to do with God's justice, God's holiness. Because of sin, God requires penalty for sin. And so in his justice, in his holiness, he required that sin be punished and penalty be paid for what was done wrong. And so God instituted a sacrificial system that would turn away his wrath from those who deserve it to the object that is being sacrificed. Throughout the Bible, sacrificial lambs were killed in order to bear the burden of people's sins. And in the symbolic ritual, sin was transferred from the guilty party to the animal by the laying on of hands on the animal. And in that symbolic act, there is a transference of the sins of the individual onto the animal. And the animal bear the judgment for those sins by dying, being slain. And this sacrificial system foreshadowed Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came to fulfill and supersede the whole sacrificial system. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world." So he bore on the cross the sins of whole of humankind, once for all time, once for all peoples who will receive him as their Savior. In his 33 years here on earth, Jesus lived out the meaning of his name. The Lord is salvation. He himself is the Lord. He himself is salvation. Okay? And the gospel stories reveal him to be a Savior wherever he goes. And this morning we want to revisit some scenes which reveal his saving acts as he brought forgiveness, hope, and life. Wherever he went, he brought forgiveness, hope, life. To the paralytic, he said, "Your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and walk." To the woman caught in adultery, he spoke the words of release. While all were ready to stone her to death, he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." To the dead girl, he commanded, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, arise." And he brought that little girl and he gave the little girl back to the weeping parents. To dead Lazarus, he called out, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus was delivered from death. Where there was darkness, he brought light, restoring sanity, as he rebuked the demons and commanded them to get out of those who were demon-possessed. And he brought hope to those who were hopeless, like the leper who came to him and pleaded with Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper and said, "I will, be thou clean." Wherever he went, Jesus healed, forgave, restored, saved. And in exchange for the people's wholeness, Jesus bore all their sins and the sins of fallen humanity on his own body at the cross when he cried out to God the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So that he could say to us who receive his gift of life, as he did to the repentant thief at the cross, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." You know, this is the story of Jesus, and it's the story of his love for us. It was more than 40 years ago that I first understood the Christmas story of why Jesus had to come to earth. And that was despite the fact that I was brought up as a Christian in a so-called Christian home. And I was brought up also in a mission school where there was chapel every week. You know, at the time, I was a restless teenager. I was literally bored to tears with life. I would wake up in the morning, and tears will run, you know, as I brush my teeth and wash my face to get ready to go to school. Because to me, life was absolutely meaningless. Even at a young age, you know, I found life meaningless. And I asked myself a question like, why? What is this all about? You know, to get up in the morning, to go to school, and then to take exams, and then to go for have holidays, and then when the holiday end, to school start, have school start again, and then I go to school again, and then I take exams, and then I have the holiday, and so on. And I ask, why? What is the meaning and purpose of life? And then came Christmas 1972, and that was about 40 over years ago, when in an unforgettable encounter, Jesus met me. He came to me in a vision of himself at the cross. I was stunned when the realization of Christmas dawned on me, that Christmas is all about Jesus coming to earth, sent by God on a mission. And that mission was to die for humankind. And the words of John 3:16 came alive for me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And the Holy Spirit then personalized this particular verse to me in this way. "For God so loved me that he gave his only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. So that if I believe that Jesus paid the penalty of sin for me, I will not need to pay the penalty of sin and die, but instead, I will have everlasting life." That Christmas in 1972, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I've been forever grateful for the gifts of life that had been given to me, and for the meaning, the purpose, the transformation that knowing the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. You know, just a few days ago, I was at a bus stop waiting for a bus when I noticed this poster. And it has these words. Maybe we have it on the next slide. It says this: "Dear Diary, I can't cope with this depression. I don't want to live anymore. There is no purpose in life. I don't have the energy to get out of my bed, nor do I want to. I can't cope with all the exams and bullying at school. The world does not need a burden like me. I will never be able to get out of this rut. Sincerely, Joan." And the header of this poster has the encouragement, "There is hope. Seek help," and a contact number to call Touchline. And we may well wonder how many young people are in this condition. And there must be many for the community services to be offering help in this manner to those who are finding life meaningless and who are at risk of taking their own lives as a result. You know, we, the church, have the answer to life's issues and challenges. We can tell people that there is hope in Jesus. We can tell people that there is life in Jesus. We have a story to tell. Our own personal story of how we met Jesus and the story of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross to give us life and life in all its abundance. Recently, I was led by the Lord to pray for a 4-year-old girl who was having behavioral problems. In a time of prayer and fasting over her, the Lord revealed that this little girl needs lots of love and healing, as there is a painful wound in her soul, a wound that was caused by the trauma of fear and rejection that she experienced when her baby sister arrived. She was then only around 2 years old. And because of childcare problems, the parents have to put her, even at a tender age, to put her in a pre-nursery school. And then, without the parents' knowledge, she experienced and suffered the trauma of rejection and abandonment. Because she was plucked out from a cocoon of a loving environment to a cold environment of strangers. And she was terrified. Although there were much tears, there was no realization for the parents that she was suffering trauma. You know, as the Lord revealed the root of her problems, I did the only thing I knew how, and that was to bring Jesus to her and to ask Jesus to heal her wounded soul. I was very confident to do this because the Lord has said, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belong to such as these." So with her parents present and with her securely seated on her daddy's lap and the safe embrace of her father, I explained to her, 4-year-old, explained to her that Jesus loves her very much and that we're going to ask Jesus to come and to take away all the things that frighten her. And I invited Jesus to come and set her free from the root of fears, rejection, and trauma that had bound and hurt her all these years. The parents are also now alerted, no, to the little girl's world, and it's a fanciful world, no, of magic. She's into the cartoon world of magical powers and spells and curses, no, from cartoons. And so the parents are now alerted to this make-believe world that the little girl had been living in, and now weaning her off this world to the world of Jesus' power, love, and goodness. The process of healing has begun. It was just only last week that all this transpired, and the process of healing has begun for this small child. And we are confident that Jesus will bring the healing to completion in her young life. This episode has made me realize even more how much people need the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just adults, you know, but also children. There is a movement now called the 414 window of children's ministry, which reaches out to those from 4 years old to 14 years old with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are an age group that can be easily overlooked in our outreach efforts. But these children, even at this age, they are able to understand the gospel message of Jesus. And they can be like Joan, the poster girl at the bus stop, or this little girl whom I recently prayed for. And they are all around us, you know. They are in our homes, they are in the schools, they are in the playgrounds, they are in the parks. And some can be battling untold fears, which they cannot express. And some can be at risk because they are crying out for a reason to live. Statistics have shown from Samaritans of Singapore that suicide is the leading cause of death for those aged 10 to 29. We have the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus the Messiah is the hope that we can share with all peoples, regardless of age, race, language, or religion. In May next year, we'll be having this big evangelistic event from 17 to 19 May at the National Stadium called the Celebration of Hope, where we will proclaim the one name in which everyone can have solid hope, the one name that brings life in all its fullness. And it's to be personal evangelism on a mass scale. And we can start right now. For all of us, we can start right now, okay? Sharing the name of Jesus with our family members, with our nephews and nieces, our children and grandnephews and grandnieces, with our domestic helpers, friends, relatives, all who are in our Jerusalem. We don't have to go very far. And for us here today, I don't know whether the Lord has brought you here and you are new. And if you do not know Jesus personally, allow Him to make this Christmas different for you. Where you are seated, simply invite Him to make Himself real to you. And let Him show you what He is like. You know, there's a song that goes like this. And I think many of us know this song. Christmas isn't Christmas till it happens in your heart. How many of you know this song? Most dare not put up their hands. I'm going to invite you to sing it with me. Can we do that? I don't trust my voice to carry it through, but if we can all sing together, it will help. Shall we sing it together? We sing it for all of us. That Christmas isn't Christmas unless Jesus is in our hearts, okay? Christmas isn't Christmas till it happens in your heart. Somewhere deep inside you is where Christmas really starts. So give your heart to Jesus. You will find that when you do, that is Christmas, really Christmas for you. You know, Christmas doesn't only last 12 days in a year. Christmas is all about Jesus and can happen every day of the year. And in all the years of our life. The good news of Jesus Christ is that He died in our place on the cross, but He rose from the dead. And because He lives, we can face all our tomorrows confident that He is by our side. No matter what life brings in the years ahead. May this be a very special Christmas to all of us, the young and the old. Let us pray. God, our Father, indeed we want to thank You for the story, this blessed story of Jesus and His love for us. The love that is so deep that caused Him to walk the way of the cross to die for us. And we bow our hearts to You in thanksgiving. We pray, O Lord, that this would be a very special Christmas for all, the young and the old. And for those in our midst, Lord, who are yet to know You, we pray that this Christmas will be different because it's a Christmas that will be spent with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.